Welcome to Why Did I Do That? A podcast made by teens to introduce psychology in a more accessible way for teens of all backgrounds. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Yusra. We are two high schoolers from Northern California, and we're super psyched to share our excitement of psychology to other teens. Hey Lauren, do you ever just fidget and crack your knuckles? Because cracking my knuckles is like a ritual for me because I do it every single day. Like when I begin my day, in the middle of my day, just throughout my day as a whole. Whenever I'm bored or stressed or I do it unknowingly, it's something that I just can't find myself going through a day without doing. You know, like I have to do it. And I've also noticed something. So because I'm doing it a lot and sometimes I do it unknowingly and in other people's presence, I've seen that some people tend to get a little annoyed by it, or they might feel discomforted by it. So
personally for me, sometimes I do crack my knuckles, but I definitely fidget in other ways too. For example, I have this habit where I just pick at my dead skin. And
I do that too.
That sounds really weird.
on your nails, right?
Yeah
I do that
the
too.
Cuticles kind of.
Just whenever you start getting like really nervous. That's something I do. I also crack my knuckles a lot, I said.
I can confirm that too.
Is it really that much? We have multiple classes together, so you find it annoying? Because I know that some people might.
I personally don't feel extremely annoyed by it, but sometimes in class, if I'm like taking a test and hear someone just suddenly cracking their knuckles, it can be pretty distracting.
Oh, that's definitely me. Because for me, it tends to happen more when I'm stressing out, so I'm going to start doing it unconsciously.
Well, I think for me, even though it can sometimes be distracting, what's the most annoying, in my opinion, is when people keep clicking their pen.
Yeah. I actually don't do that very much.
Okay, actually, I don't think I crack my knuckles that often. I definitely fidget in other ways, though, like I said, such as picking at my nails. And from what I researched, fidgeting obviously isn't just limited to knuckle cracking. It can also include tapping your foot or your fingernails or blinking. And also if you uncross and cross your legs a lot, that can be a sign too.
I do that a lot. And I know lots of people do. It's pretty common. But I also do the one where you're like tapping your leg up and down.
Oh, the bouncing knee.
Yeah, the bouncing knee. I do that so often. Like one for real. Like, have you ever looked at your class and then like seen all of your peers constantly shaking their legs up and down? Because it's astonishing to me how everyone is fidgeting either with their hands or their feet in class. And there are actually more reasons for this than just one. For example, like lots of people say that fidgeting and moving your leg up and down is because someone is anxious. And that is a huge reason. Definitely something that I experience and many others do as well, but we'll get into that a little bit later and how it relates to anxiety. But for example, I once saw this TikTok that showed a class full of students just shaking their legs up and down, like the bouncing knee thing. And the caption for that TikTok said something like, "School making everybody anxious." You know, so it was like attributing it to anxiety and school. But the reality is that there are more reasons for fidgeting than just one. And that's what we're going to debunk in this episode. Yep.
That's actually kind of funny because I'm one of the people who does shake their leg up and down a lot. And when I was doing my research, I found out that there's a name for this called restless leg syndrome. And I didn't even know that before. Like, there was an official name for people bouncing their knee and stuff.
It's pretty accurate, though. My leg is restless throughout the entire day, especially when I'm at school. Like, it's just bouncing up and down. And I'm like, oh my god, when will it stop? It's involuntary.
It feels so weird for it to just stay still. It's almost like it requires more energy to have your leg stay still.
I just let it bounce, you know? Free reign. Do whatever you want.
And this syndrome is basically a condition that makes you really want to move your legs and feet. And usually these symptoms happen when trying to sleep or at other times when you need to stay still, like in a long car ride.
Oh, so like staying still in class, like we're sitting down in our seats. Yeah, that would make sense. We're pinned to the same desk for 90 minutes at a time, so.
Yeah. If we're not bouncing our legs out this time, then I don't know how you do it. You must be a
I
psychopath because
know.
I cannot
I
sit
know,
still
right?
for
I've seen some people. Every day when my leg is moving up and down, I check to see, am I the only one who's bouncing their knee? And then there's some people, there are very few, but there are some who don't. And I'm like, how can you be so at peace right now?
So at peace.
I just could never.
I actually found out that there are various causes of the syndrome, so maybe those people don't really suffer from these things.
True, because it's not just anxiety, right?
One of them is iron deficiency, which I found kind of unexpected, but it also makes a lot of sense because I found out recently that I have an iron deficiency, and this is basically when you don't have enough ferritin or iron in your blood, and you tend to feel tired easily and lack energy. So I've had to take pills for it, but I've definitely noticed when I'm studying, I'll randomly switch my legs into different positions like every 10 minutes. And sometimes I just put my foot up on the chair without
Yeah, I
realizing.
do that. I do that. This is really embarrassing. Like, I don't think I should be doing this, but I do this in class as well. If no one's sitting in front of me, I'll do it. So, I actually had iron deficiency when I was younger, back in middle school, but I don't have it anymore. But I don't think that I cross my legs as much. So, that wasn't something I dealt with, but I understand that it probably happens to a lot of people who do have, iron deficiency. But at the same time, I don't really remember anything, so maybe I did. No. You know how bad my memory is. Literally crap.
Maybe you should get more sleep to help.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
You
check
had
out
to
our
go there,
sleep.
didn't you? You wouldn't believe. I'm on 5 hours of sleep for this entire week. Like, not only on 5 hours, but every night I've been getting 5 hours.
You should definitely be
We'll
sleeping more.
get
Like, I don't
there.
know how you're operating right now, but yeah, I found out iron deficiencies are actually kind of common, or they might be since I don't know that many people with iron deficiencies, but I have heard other friends talk about it. And
It is a pretty common,
yeah,
yeah, it is common.
it's hard though to find a food with iron in it. Like, I think some examples are spinach and other sorts of red meat and beans.
I feel like if you, yeah, taking foods like that could also reduce the restless leg syndrome, as well as just staying in good shape and working out, exercising often, things like that. So a good physical health could also help reduce that. Not just if you have iron deficiency, but if there's another reason why you have the restless leg syndrome. But I also
Yeah.
bounce my leg up and down like a lot, and as we mentioned, lots of other people do. I can't believe that there are some people who don't. But I remember ever since I was little, my dad would bounce his leg up and down quite often. And I distinctively remember thinking, I was really young. I remember thinking, oh, it's so weird that his leg's just moving up and down, up and down. And then one day, I started doing the exact same thing. And I was like, I literally consciously remember telling myself, oh, I'm doing the same thing Baba does. And the movement itself wasn't conscious, but I just recognized it that, oh, I'm doing this. Baba does this all the time. It's a little funky. And this is actually really intriguing because the restless leg syndrome is actually inherited, and genetic reasons are a huge part as to why we shake our leg up and down so much. And this applies to any immediate parent, immediate relation. So my dad, for example, would be like the immediate parent in my case. But once again, restless leg syndrome is not just caused by these reasons, but these are the main ones that we've decided to outline for you guys today.
You said that I was thinking like father, like daughter. You know that quote? Yeah.
That one's pretty accurate for this situation.
I don't think I really have that many family members who. Okay, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, my mom, she'll sometimes put her leg up on the chair, and then my brother also sometimes puts his leg up and moves his legs around like that. So now I'm thinking it might actually be genetic, or at least partly influenced by
True. I mean, not your brother, the one with your
that.
brother wouldn't be genetic, but it's always an immediate family member. So your mom or your dad would probably make sense.
We also might find ourselves fidgeting unconsciously the majority of the time, and this can happen when we're in a boring class of sorts or a boring lecture. I definitely have a lot of those. So when I start to daydream, for example, I do fidget quite a bit. And research shows that fidgeting can increase as your attention decreases.
Surprisingly, I don't exactly relate to that. Because, like, I do fidget a lot, especially during class, and I have lots of boring lectures too, unfortunately. But I actually fidget not only when my attention is decreasing, but also when I'm super focused on my work, like hyper-focused. So I usually start to shake my legs or do some other things when I'm fidgeting, like cracking my knuckles when I'm focused and just getting into the zone. And especially if I'm like cramming out a lot of work in a short period of time, then I'm like even more focused.
When you mean short periods of time, though, are you talking about like 11:59 p.m. deadlines? Because that might also just be you experiencing more anxiety. And I know anxiety is said to be a major cause of fidgeting, and sometimes in cases like yours.
Okay, I swear I don't intend for 11 p.m. deadlines to happen. They just do sometimes.
Sure.
It happens. We've all turned in an essay. We've all started working on an essay at 11 p.m., and it turns out to be due at 11:59. So, no, you've never done that?
Well, I have.
I've had some adventures.
I think it's a bit reaching to say everyone's done that, because I'm sure that there are a few hyperproductive people out there who always just start things.
Oh, I start things, but then I don't finish until then. But yeah, those are times where my fidgeting has increased. My leg is bouncing up and down. I'm cracking my knuckles more because I'm super focused. And you're right, maybe it's the anxiety getting to me. And, you know, I'm worried about getting it done. That's my focus. But yeah, anxiety and fidgeting have lots of cons for sure, but we do need it, because if we weren't ever anxious, then we wouldn't be able to survive. We wouldn't be able to take care of ourselves and protect ourselves from harmful situations. Like, if we ever came across a lion, because that's a casual occurrence we all encounter every day.
Yes, I always encounter a lion trying to attack me.
Or if I wasn't anxious about finishing my work before that 11:59 p.m. deadline, I wouldn't be pushed to work and I'd fail eventually. So we do need to feel anxious sometimes. But again, feeling anxious and having anxiety are two different things. Putting it out there.
This reminds me of something I saw about how feeling stressed sometimes can actually help you, but it depends.
Exactly, yeah.
It depends on how you interpret the stress. So if you think of it as a bad thing, then it doesn't really help you. But if you think of it as something that can motivate you, then it can help you be more productive.
Exactly. It's like that go, go, go factor.
Yeah.
True.
But sometimes if I'm experiencing too much stress, or I'm just really tired and I have this overwhelming amount of work piled on me that I need to do, then I can definitely start feeling anxious and start fidgeting a lot while thinking about my work in class and
true
situations. We're going to take a break, and afterwards we'll talk more about fidgeting and anxiety and depression and the two different kinds of fidgeting. We'll also answer the question, is fidgeting really all that bad?
Welcome back from the break. You remember that TikTok I mentioned at the start of the episode about how every kid in class was bouncing their leg up and down frantically and fidgeting as a whole, and then the caption was blaming school for being super anxious or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for starters, fidgeting is very prominent in social anxiety disorders and with people with social anxiety. For example, in an experiment with a group of socially anxious people, there was increased fidgeting just among these people as they were talking.
I mean, it's no surprise that those kids were probably fidgeting because they were anxious, or that most of them were fidgeting, because school can definitely be anxiety-inducing.
I know, right? Because I'm not even joking. Every time I'm taking a test, I'm having all these irrational thoughts where I'm thinking messing up this one test will ruin my entire future and chances of being a psychiatrist. Every single time I know I'm not going to do that well on a test, I'm like, okay, goodbye med school, goodbye future career.
Or maybe if you mess up the test, a lion is going to eat you.
What? Oh my god, that's so random. Maybe, okay, this is relating to that, but I remember when I used to do PE in middle school and we were running the mile, my teacher would say something like, imagine a spider is running after you. Huge spider, like the one from Harry Potter, the giant one. So that would be like anxiety inducing and it would motivate me. But sometimes, like here in this case, it works against you and I have these irrational thoughts.
I guess they are kind of irrational. About the same time, can you really blame us?
No, you can't blame us. You can blame the education system. Joking.
Just don't blame us. Just joking. We love the education system.
Yeah. Don't cancel us. But seriously, fidgeting is common in individuals who have anxiety and even more common in people who are depressed. But the fidgeting can decrease as depression is treated. Also, you can treat fidgeting as a whole with medications and changing your lifestyle, as we mentioned earlier, such as exercising more, eating healthier, and so on. Just making good choices can decrease the fidgeting.
Oh, I actually didn't know there were solutions to fidgeting. I mean, I think I did believe there were ways to help with fidgeting, but I'm going to have to look more into that, because if I keep on picking at my nails or my cuticles,
the skin around your nails, nothing's gonna be gone, nothing's gonna be there. You're gonna pick until you get through the epithelial layer.
Using the biomed terms. Okay, to answer the question about whether fidgeting is actually bad, though, I'll talk about the two kinds of fidgeting. So there is irregular and repetitive fidgeting. Repetitive movements are structured. They have a specific start and end, and they have a specific pattern. So there's three phases where the hand moves to the location and engages in an action where it moves back and forth in the same path and then moves back to rest in the same position. So it's a repetitive pattern, basically.
Yeah, and it sounds complicated, but you can just think of it as a movement you're doing when you're giving a presentation. So those hand gestures that teachers always tell you to do because you're going to get the audience's attention. So it's where there's this one hand gesture called the giving position, the giving gesture. So you put your hand out and then you bring it back, right, to its initial position. So that's not fidgeting because it's voluntary. And then there's a trajectory for it. So that's what makes it a repetitive movement.
Is that what you're doing right now, by the way?
Yeah, I do that a lot while podcasting, right?
I know you guys can't see it, but I've been watching Yusra and she's literally just extending her hand.
I do it a lot. There are more gestures. I'm sorry, I can't remember any other. That's why I do it. I once got in trouble for doing this gesture too often. So if you're going to do it carefully. Don't do it as much as I do.
Like your gesture of extending your hand is too offensive for us.
Exactly. Did some research on the second type of fidgeting, and this is where you're doing irregular movements. So irregular movements aren't predictable whatsoever, so they don't have that phase change we were talking about or that specific trajectory, and they happen without the control of the individual. They're involuntary movements, and they are associated with cognitive stress.
I think sometimes I do have irregular movements, like when I'm really stressed during a test or when I'm in a random place and just stressing about something. I think I still sometimes do this now, but as I mentioned, I have a habit of picking the dead skin off my fingers, and I don't know why I got into that habit, but I did it even more last year and would start peeling off the skin around my fingers. It actually doesn't hurt that much.
Seriously, it sounds very painful. Like, I don't do it as much, but it sounds painful, bro.
No, it doesn't hurt that much unless there's a blister or something painful underneath the dead skin. But I think if you do it too much, it can...
Oh, God, that is a lot of information.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, one of my friends who had a class with me noticed me picking my skin one day, and she was like, are you okay? Doesn't that hurt?
My thoughts exactly, bro. I don't do it that often, but for the people who do, how? I feel like it's also in that moment when you're really anxious, and obviously it's an involuntary movement, so that could serve as an explanation, would you say?
For me, I've always felt that way about people who bite their nails. Like, I think neither is good, but in my opinion, picking the dead skin off your fingers doesn't hurt nearly as much as biting your nails. But at the same time, I've never really had that.
I bite my nails.
Still?
Not still. I just got back into it junior year. I swear to you, I stopped doing it and I started it again because of all this additional cognitive stress that I've been bombarded with ever since junior year has begun. Also, I just have to make this comment, even though it's stating the obvious. We're having a very grotesque conversation right now about dead skin. Oh my gosh. What, does my vocabulary fit your AP Lang vocab? I'm a regular English student, okay? Leave me alone.
Why are you attacking me?
Because all of you guys gang up on me with your syntaxes and analysis.
Well, to be fair, I've never ganged up on you in that way. I think it's just mainly the other people we talk to, you know, who use those fancy terms.
True.
But
I'm going to save my efforts for AP STEM classes, as one STEM should. Classes. Yeah, so I can learn more interesting facts about science and
like the science the cognitive of stress.
Yeah, exactly. And things like that.
Well, I actually don't think it's that grotesque. What even is that word? Grotesque.
Grotesque. Grotesque. Yeah, it's one of my favorite words.
Interesting choice. But compared to the other things I've consumed before, like clips from horror movies and stuff, I don't think this is that gross. Because if it doesn't hurt that much, I don't think it's completely harmful to me sometimes. But
true.
I can definitely understand if I keep doing it, it could ruin my skin way and like make it harder for skin to grow back quickly.
True. And I just don't think that you want to keep fidgeting, right? It can get like annoying sometimes, that irregular, that movement, because it's a sign of stress. And it's, for example, if you're presenting, lots of people fidget when they're presenting because of that anxiety that they're feeling in the moment. And it presents yourself as a very unprepared person, maybe, right? If you see someone up there presenting in front of you and they're fidgeting a lot, you're going to have these notions about this person, like, oh, they're not a good public speaker, or they're not prepared enough, things like that. So there are things you can do, and there are reasons for why people would want to reduce fidgeting. So,
yeah, I think one thing definitely you could do is take notes while listening to a lecture that you find boring, or while you're just listening to something.
Because it keeps yourself occupied. It keeps your hands occupied. You're doing something, and that can reduce the fidgeting.
Yeah, because at least, for example, if you fidget a lot with your hands, like, I might pick at my nails or
all that other stuff we mentioned. Yeah.
It keeps your hands doing something else, so at least, even if you still can't pay attention while taking notes, you at least have some
mindless note-taking. Yeah. I do that a lot nowadays. Stress relief methods as a whole would be helpful, such as proper breathing techniques, right? And finding ways to manage your stress through some external source at home when you have time, and managing your anxiety as a whole, meditating, that sort of thing. Mindfulness, practicing mindfulness, that could also help.
We'll probably do another episode in the future about more stress relief techniques, but those are definitely some examples.
Those are just some general ideas to look into.
Those are definitely some of the options you can do. And I believe there are also guided imagery videos on YouTube that can calm you down. But again, we'll definitely go into this with more depth if we have another episode on specifically stress relief. And that concludes the end of our episode. To recap, the phenomenon of fidgeting is caused by factors such as stress, anxiety, and lack of attention. And a form of fidgeting is restless leg syndrome, which has numerous possible causes, such as iron deficiency. Other forms of deficiency may be caused by stress, anxiety, or lack of attention.
We found that there are two common types of fidgeting. There are repetitive movements and irregular movements. Irregular movements happen when you're under cognitive stress, and regular movements are more likely to happen when they're intentional and used to explain a subject, for example, from one individual to another.
Thank you to everyone who listened to our episode this week. And as we said in the past episode, we're definitely going to start uploading more consistently. Stay tuned for more episodes in the future, and make sure to follow our socials as we've started posting a bit more on our Instagram account at Why Did I Do That Pod.
Be sure to check it out. You know, leave us a follow and leave us a review, please. We'd love to hear back what you guys thought of this episode and what you guys thought of any of our previous episodes.
Yes, we really want the reviews so we know what we can work on and make the episodes the best we can.
Ooh, and we are open to recommendations for what possible episodes could be about, so please look into that as well on our Insta.
As always, don't forget to keep asking yourself, why did I do that?
Thank you.